Hello, this is Roger Schaus, and this is Jumpstart Rewind. This is part of our Heaven Bound podcast family. Jumpstart number 2026, first written January 30th, 2018. Luke chapter 15, verse 28. But he became angry and was not willing to go in, and his father came out and began pleading with him. Our verse today comes from the end of the powerful prodigal son parable. If you're listening to our podcast, on Fridays we're doing a whole series on this parable of the prodigal son. A wonderful day because the prodigal finally came home, turned sour because the elder brother refused to accept and forgive his brother. The other brother represents the Pharisees and the scribes who are grumbling at the beginning of this chapter because Jesus ate with sinners. They stood with the elder brother. Among all the great lessons layered in this parable, we find one of having a hard conversation with someone. The father went out to the elder brother. He left the celebration to convince the elder brother to join them. It is in the shoes of the father, having those hard conversations, that we want to look at today. There are many forms of these difficult conversations, and they happen all throughout our lives. Parents must have them with their children. It's more than grades, it's more than behavior, attitude, and the choices that they're making. It's who they're hanging out with. It's the time they're spending on social media. Often these conversations become a test of the wills, and too many times it leads to a battle. The spiritual, according to the book of Galatians, was to restore one who was caught in any trespass. The Lord said, if someone has sinned against us, that we are to go to that person and show him his fault. A factious man was warned not once but twice in the book of Titus. If he continued his course, he was to be rejected. In a marriage, one's behavior may be hurting the other. They may not realize it. A conversation must take place. There's a time when a grown child must have a conversation with a parent about moving into assisted living. The parent doesn't want to go, and the parent doesn't feel like it's necessary. An employee has to have a conversation with his boss about unethical practices at his company. No one else seems to be bothered by what's going on. He doesn't want to be seen as a whistleblower, but he cannot continue to participate in things that he feels is wrong. A friend is making wrong choices. They are flirting with someone that they're not married to. You seem to be the only one who sees red flags. You feel compelled to say something. As a member of the congregation, you see the leadership making choices that are not wise, and more than that, they're not biblical. They are in violation of Scripture. Everyone seems to be going along with it but you. Something has to be said. It seems to fall on you to speak to them. All of these situations involve having a tough conversation. It's not easy. These things keep us up at night. We think about what and how to say these things. We imagine the conversations in our mind. We are scared because we know things may be not taken well. In some of these situations, a friendship may end. A job may be lost. You may be asked to leave a congregation. You may be the bad guy in the family. We often want someone else to have this conversation, but oftentimes there's no one else but us. No one in the church steps up. No one in the family steps up. No one. Why me, you wonder? Why do I have to be the one who has this conversation? It's easy to talk about all these things to others rather than going to the person we truly need to talk to. We sometimes drag our feet with these things. We hope that someone else will do it for us. But sooner or later, we recognize that if we don't say something, nothing will change. Most of us have had some of these conversations. Each time it's hard. You think about that after a while. It would get easier, but it never does. Here are some things to keep in mind. First, your love for the Lord and what is right and that person is what compels you to say something. It's often something that is on their case and on their mind, but you're driven by love to do these things. If you didn't care, you wouldn't say anything, but you do care. And for that very reason, you cannot simply remain silent. It's good to remember that to express that. What you are saying is said out of love because you care for that person. Secondly, find the right time and place for this discussion. Turn the TV off. Get a setting that will allow you time. This isn't a drive-by conversation. The person you're talking to most likely will reject what you say at first. They will dig their heels in and defend themselves. They may even counterattack you. They need time to hear what you're saying. Speak clearly. Speak kindly. Repeat. Be specific. Give evidence. Don't threaten. Don't go in with both guns blazing. Your attempt is to make things better. Your goal is to save. Your goal is to help someone. Thirdly, pray. Pray before you go. Pray as you speak. Pray as they speak back. Pray for the right words, open hearts, and God's help. Pray that you do not come across as arrogant or a know-it-all. The person may turn the subject on you. They may try to dodge the issue and switch subjects. Don't chase rabbits in a conversation. Stick to the issue at hand. Don't destroy the person. Don't attack the person. Deal with what's wrong and present ways to make things better. Your tone, your spirit has much to do with this. Going in angry will produce the same response in return. No one likes to be attacked. No one likes to feel like they are being ganged up on. Keep that before you and remember the golden rule. How would you want someone to come to you? Fourth, be careful in making demands. If we have hurt someone, we may demand an apology. You probably won't get a genuine one at that. We can demand a change of action. That most likely won't happen. Walk them through what can make things better. Help them come to the conclusion that you have. Don't make this all about you. Put the Lord, His Word, and what is right in your lineup of reasons why one needs to change. And all of this, it's not me versus you. We often will lose if we do that. However, when the battle is between us, between what is right or what's best versus them, this discussion takes a different level. Fifth, be patient. We love for things to turn around in one conversation. Sometimes they do. Many times they don't. A person has to let what you said stir around in their head and their heart. They may have to see things and how you care about them. It may take a while to see results. Keep praying. Keep caring. There may be some follow-up discussions that are necessary. The father went out to his son and began pleading with him to come in. Did the elder son listen? Did he come in? Was the father convincing? The parable ends. The parallel to the Pharisees and the life of Jesus didn't go so well. Many of them were not convinced. Many of them would not follow. Many of them turned to crucify Jesus. But there were some who changed. Paul was one who believed. He listened, and he was convinced. Many of us are stubborn. It's hard to move us. It's hard to convince us. It's hard to change us. You realize the difficulties that are faced when one has conversations with others like that. I hope these thoughts will help us. As we journey on, there will be more and more difficult conversations and come to Jesus talks, as we commonly express those things. Shepherds of God's people must be able to do this. It's part of what they do. They care, and that's why they try to give the best and help us from the dangers in life. Love, courage, and faith is what drives us to go out and plead with others to come in. What a wonderful example. The father went to his son to get him to come back in. Thank you for listening.